This episode of Market Talk is brought to you by Growmark FS. Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic grain and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Bringing you the ag information you need. This is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Grains and oilseeds saw more follow-through pressure on Tuesday's trade, with cattle trade mostly higher and hog trade under pressure as well. Welcome into Market Talk. Thank you so much for joining us, making us part of your day once again as we take a look at what's going on in the markets as well as issues impacting rural America. Appreciate you being here with us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks again. And a lot to discuss on today's show as we saw the markets really under pressure here today. Again, more follow-through pressure in grains and oilseeds. You could attribute it to a number of factors. Economic woes in China and concerns about demand have hit the markets here this week. Throw in weather, rains in parts of the Western Corn Belt, helping to maybe improve chances for the soybean crops in some of those really dry areas. And then you throw in as well the crude oil market liquidating back down around 6-month lows again on Tuesday. All of those factors kind of just combining together funds, getting rid of money in the markets here and getting out of grains once again. Meantime, we did see crop condition ratings nationally go down a point on Monday afternoon. Quarter beans both going lower in the good to excellent category. Iowa crop ratings taking a pretty big hit as well. A lot of the western states seeing the pressure from heat stress, but that was outweighed by all the other factors that I mentioned in the market trade, kind of just weighing on things and giving us a bit of a bearish tone to the markets on Tuesday's session. We're going to talk about the markets coming up. We'll be joined by one of the guys at AgMarket.com. .net joining the program coming up here in segment 2 and 3. We'll be talking to them in just a little bit. First up, though, I talked during Tuesday's session with Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX. Got Arlen's take on what he was seeing in the markets. And I mentioned to him, I said, was it a combination on Tuesday, the follow-through pressure? Was it the China woes, the demand concerns there, recession fears, the crude oil market? Was it weather? And here was Arlen's response when I asked if it was all those things combined or if it was something else in the grain market trade on Tuesday.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to sum it up overall. There's still a lot of concerns about China. China basically trying to kind of avoid buying U.S. where they can, although they have been buying corn and soybeans, but they're still trying to get it from other sources where they have an opportunity to do so. And concerns about their economic data being supported, maybe that demand is going to be slumping in the weeks and months ahead, weighing on these markets. The rains and the cooler weather in the Midwest overall not giving anything for the bulls to rally around to counter the bearish sentiment currently among the funds. Those rains are certainly beneficial where they're falling, particularly for soybean crop, which has the opportunity to benefit more than the corn crop for late rains. But the cooler weather and moisture will benefit or reduce the losses on the corn as well. We should point out that still a lot of areas missing out on those rains, a lot of areas still very dry, but at least benefiting from the more moderate temperatures going forward. Big question is on the national crops. Soybeans still are in a position where the bad is outweighed by the good, and we could still end up either side of trend line. Corn, it looks like we're going to be below trend line for the year on the corn yield. That's the way it looks right now. The only question is how far, and right now the market's not too worried about that ahead of next week's big crop tour in the Midwest.
And I think that big crop tour is going to be telling coming up next week. You and I were talking off the air. It was surprising to see the Iowa good to excellent condition ratings go down as much as they did, I think 7 and 8 points respectively on quarter beans. Yet the national ratings only came down 1. I think it's going to be very interesting as we start to get some more boots on the ground here the next couple of weeks to see just what we have out in the fields across much of the Corn Belt.
You're exactly right. when we look at the crop ratings overall, I think the expectation was that the national numbers would be down more than what they were. But overall, we're looking at some very good crops out there and some very poor crops, depending on where you're at. And that's not unusual. But the question is how they offset one another. And I think Iowa's going to be one of those pivotal states that's going to kind of determine how the good and the bad outweigh which has the more leverage on both the corn and the soybean crops this year. So as we look to next week's tour, we'll be looking at ear health for the corn crop, length of ears, the girth of the ears, how well those ears are feeling across the Midwest ag belt overall. And then on soybeans, we'll be looking for pod count numbers, how well those pods are filling out to give us some sense yet of what the potential is of these crops.
Arlen, as well, back to the China news. I noticed another announcement yesterday talking about China banning agricultural imports from Australia and New Zealand. That felt like that's rippled through the market a little bit. Now, I know we see cattle trade higher here for the most part today, hogs moving lower, but I wonder about China news and demand on the protein side, what that's going to look like. Maybe just your thoughts with that news and also the protein sector in general today.
Yeah, there's still a lot of questions about that headline about shutting off imports from Australia and New Zealand going to China. It appears that it may have been more of a problem at Chinese customs that kind of temporarily held things up. We don't sense that there's any new problems there to really stifle trade longer term. That would be significant because China has bought a lot of wheat from Australia and they need to take shipment of. So the general feeling is we're probably going to take shipment, but the tensions certainly are rising with what we have around Taiwan. As we had another group of U.S. lawmakers visit Taiwan on Monday of this week, that further angered China. They've extended their military exercises into waters surrounding Taiwan for another couple of weeks till August 28th. And there's some observers who think now that China is going to continue to have exercises around Taiwan and have troops around Taiwan right up until they actually make a move to, quote unquote, reunify Taiwan to the mainland at some point in the future.
And again, that is comments with Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, talking with him about mid-session on Tuesday's trade. It was great to catch up with him as always. Taking a look at another story here, the world of agriculture we're keeping an eye on. We see the American Farm Bureau Federation, they distributed a third drought impact survey in June to its members in 15 states across the western U.S. Danny Munch, an economist with Farm Bureau, said the survey was distributed to state staff, county and state leadership, and farmer and rancher members.
The survey included several demographic questions to distinguish state affiliation and had sections on crop-specific factors, livestock factors, and general water access. By the end, we received over 650 responses from those 15 states, and it got a whole bunch of data on operational-level changes that farmers and ranchers were doing to cope with drought.
The major takeaways from the survey show farmers are continuing to battle severe drought conditions.
Respondents expect their farm-related revenue to be down 38% from average because of drought. 74% reported an expected reduction in harvest yields, 66 reported liquidating parts of their herd or livestock herd, and 73% reported reduced surface water deliveries because of drought conditions. Many more farmers were tilling under crops and removing orchards compared to last year, and of those who reduced their herd size last year, half were continuing to liquidate.
And again, that is Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, talking with Arlen around mid-session on Tuesday. Coming up next, we are going to talk to Bill Biederman with AgMarket.net. We're also going to talk to Mike Miner with Professional Ag Marketing. All that is on the way as we're back with more Market Talk coming up right after this.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now here on Market Talk as we take a look at what we saw in the market trade on Tuesday, we welcome in Bill Biederman with AgMarket.net. Bill, great to catch up with you, sir. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing really good. Despite a pretty negative day, I'm still standing.
Well, you know, that's the thing. We take our hits when we get them, and we take our wins when we get them. And yeah, you alluded to a kind of a negative day across the grains and oilseeds on Tuesday. You know, it feels like there's a lot of weight on the market to start the week. Everything from the China economic news to the rains in the Western Corn Belt, et cetera. Talk to me a little bit about just what you felt was the reasoning behind the move on Tuesday? Was it one thing, or was it a combination of all of the above in the grains and oilseeds, Bill?
I think it was a combination. You had a lot of people buy the market Friday based on the idea that we were breaking out to the upside. We took out a triangular point on the corn and on the soybeans. You know, we had a pretty good push to new highs for the week on Friday. And, you know, the weather forecast was still iffy at that point. Over the weekend, they verified that rain was coming. And you had those people just bail out. And on top of that, the funds are still selling, Jesse. I mean, they're still liquidating and, I guess, deflating their inflationary position that they had on in such a big way. You know, so we're still seeing that. Even today, we saw the funds sell, I believe it was 9,000 contracts of corn and something like 20,000 contracts of soybeans. So that's still going on. And this is the time of year where typically people do not like to trade the long side. And we usually put our harvest lows in between now and September, and we think it's going to happen sooner than later.
Well, I think first about the weather. You know, we're in a weather market, obviously. We typically are this time of year outside the other factors. You know, rains in the Western Corn Belt. It feels like probably too little too late for corn. Soybeans might have helped out beans, and I think that was reflected in Tuesday's trade. That seemed to be where the leader in our selling pressure was in that bean complex, Bill.
Yeah, I believe it was, because the rains are going to help the soybeans the most. And then when you see, you know, soybeans down 40 cents in one day, you have an exit for the door of anybody, because most people have on a little bit of both. And you probably had some margin call selling. So there was definitely some pressure on that. You know, the thing you just said about the corn, maybe too little too late. Might be the case, because, you know, we're just starting to get people in the fields checking pollination and kernel counts and things like that. And of course, we got the Pro Farmer Tour coming up soon. Jesse, we just don't know. I mean, there's a lot of corn in some pretty critical areas, like even Illinois and Iowa. Nebraska's been hit pretty hard anyway. South Dakota, that didn't pollinate nearly as well as we thought. You know, Missouri's another state. Southern Illinois is, you know, got hit with that. Plus, they got hit with flooding. So, you know, you got a pocket over in Indianapolis area that's not a big pocket, but, you know, they're looking at 50 to 70 bushels off normal yields. So, you know, these pockets add up, and certainly we're, you know, a record yield is off the table. USDA admitted that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, the question is, do small crops get smaller?
That's a very good point. And, you know, something as well, I talked with a few folks about, maybe you can give your thoughts on this, that August USDA report we saw, USDA wasn't out in the fields either. I mean, a lot of it was farmer surveys. A lot of it was, you know, digital data. So one has to wonder here, we get some of the different crop tours coming up here, the private crop tours the next month, and then that September report. What is that going to look like? What are the markets going to look like as we get to that September report? I think that's going to be a big key moving forward, Bill.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't have our low in by then, before that time. And the reason I say that is because we're still trading, you know, a huge yield, you know, 175 and a half or something like that. And then, you know, we're still trading in that 51 type of yield. Mm-hmm. On beans, you know, you're pushing record numbers there. And, you know, maybe USDA is ratcheting up to what they really believe is out there. Like on, you know, maybe they believe 190 is where we should be saying yields are, but it's all relative to demand, right? So it doesn't really matter how you look at it. The bottom line is, this crop is, I don't think it's getting bigger. I think we've stabilized corn, what's out there. And on the beans, you know, we're saving the beans, because there was a huge percentage of the crop that was not doing well in the bean field. So, you know, like you say, we're going to see these surveyors go out there in the next 4 weeks. That's going to make a big difference. We're going to have more information on to work with. USDA is going to actually be in the field looking at this stuff in September. That's going to be the first valid report in my mind. And if it doesn't raise the yield significantly, we still have a historically very tight stock situation, and we still have a percent of stocks to use ratio that is still what we would call in the red zone, not not in the green zone. And so we still need to have a lot of acres next year. And then on top of that, Jesse, I was just going to post some pictures. My daughter is in Italy for their military assignment, and they've been driving all over Germany and Italy and taking pictures of cornfields, and they're burnt up. I mean, Germany's still okay, and most of these fields are irrigated even in Italy, but the fields down in Italy, they're brown completely. So, you know, there's some serious problems out there that it's going to take a whole nother production cycle to fix. And so the demand's going to be there on this break. I guess if there was any message that I would give to a producer right now is, you know, so what if it's selling off? It's not going to keep going down forever. You know, don't panic. And but be smart. And when we get those value type rallies, maybe it's back to 650. I don't know what it is, but make sure you make some sales on those.
And that's a great point you made. You know, obviously the worldwide challenges we have, Europe, et cetera, you hit it on the head. I mean, they're burning up in Europe. Global production demand is going to be a big key moving forward. You made a great point at the end there. I wanted to talk a little just risk management with you, Bill. Obviously, seeing a couple days of a break here. You know, we preach a lot on the show for producers to be smart, have a plan, put some risk protection in. So when you think risk management, looking here at the markets, maybe looking to go towards their lows here, their harvest lows, quote unquote, what would your thoughts be for maybe some risk management in corn and beans right now, Bill?
Well, yeah, it depends on where you're at on sales. Like our company, we've been, you know, pushing people and be recommended to be at 60% sold on corn. So whether they did that or not is up to each producer. But when we're putting, if we have the kind of sell-off that I kind of hope we do see here in the next few weeks, I would personally, and I'm sure our company will, say, hey, time to be buying back some of those bushels that we sold, that we sold them at great prices. We spent some money on calls. We still netted out great prices. But down here, let's just say we go to the gaps in that 580 area. That would be a great place to throw some options on. I wouldn't spend a ton of money, and I'd make sure I have enough time on those options. But, you know, you can do some structural type positions where, you know, where you're selling options against some of the ones that you're buying to reduce the cost of those. If anybody wants some detail, you know, we're doing all that stuff all the time. Right now, we've been selling some straddles. We're collecting 70 cents that we can add to the price of things sold. And Jesse, we don't even have any downside exposure because we've collected 80 cents and spent 10 cents to buy a put to protect us. So, you know, it's positions like that can add up. You don't have to do it on every bushel, but it definitely helps out.
Very, very true. Bill, as well, just economically, I think there's still some recession fear. Crude oil has been collapsing the last couple of days. I know that's another weight. You throw on the top of that the U.S.-China tensions over Taiwan and the Chinese economic concerns to start the week. As you look at the broader picture in the outside markets, the energies, et cetera, what are your thoughts there here as we get into the back half of August?
Definitely still negative, Jesse. I don't see with the Fed policy we have, and I've always said, trade Fed policy. You know, don't ever fight the Fed. And I still stand by that. And I think that is in general a deflationary type of policy, higher interest rates, and working on resolving some supply issues. I don't see this thing turning around for a while, but food is a little different because it takes a production cycle to change that supply. So we've already got supply problems in the food system, and it's going to take a bigger production cycle to resolve that. Whereas with crude oil, you know, if you can get the Saudis to pump more, you can increase supply immediately. So that's a whole different animal than a food production cycle.
Well, Bill, fantastic stuff. And I know if folks want some advice, they can reach out to you and the team at agmarket.net or give you a call, 844-4-AGMARKET. Always a pleasure, sir. Thanks for joining us today. Have a great one.
Yeah, have fun at the farm shows.
That's Bill Biederman of agmarket.net. We'll be back with Mike Miner from Professional Ag Marketing right after this. More Market Talk coming up after the break.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least. But there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And we're back here on Market Talk today. Jesse Allen with you, broadcasting live from Dakota Fest in Mitchell, South Dakota. And we appreciate you making us part of your day as we take a look at the markets and information impacting rural America. Pretty rough day on Tuesday in the market trade with grains under heavy pressure. Livestock, cattle had a good day, but hogs were under some heavy pressure as well. Joining me now to talk about the market trade, Mike Miner with Professional Ag Marketing. Mike, it is good to catch up with you, man. How are you?
I am doing swell. It's nice weather out here. I'm happy to see you.
I am happy to see you as well. And yeah, nice weather compared to, I guess it was maybe $1 million rain for some yesterday in the region out here. But overall, cooler temperatures. We can't go wrong with 70 degrees and clouds in middle of August, can we?
Well, I'll tell you what. This year so far, it's been the extremes. Either we're getting no rain or we're getting 5 inches in an hour.
Yes.
So
yes.
It was nice to get one that kind of drizzled all day. We've had some cloudy overcast today. Not too hot. About time.
Yeah, we're going to talk more weather and grains in a second.
Definitely.
I'm going to start with the livestock trade, though, from Tuesday, because that hog market really just fell apart. I saw cash kind of fall apart, it looked like. What was your take in hogs on the day Tuesday?
So my outlook on the hogs is, honestly, I still think that cash is fine. You know, maybe product will be weaker here this afternoon. We'll find out. But really, I think it bounced up against some resistance levels, and we had a lot of long liquidation today, in my opinion. And that's one of the main reasons, or if not one of the only reasons, I can figure for a $3+ sell-off in the December today. Mm-hmm. We bounced up against this $90 level again, hit some really key points that these traders were looking at for margin, and I think they liquidated. So on the hog market, that's really the only reason I see for having this hard of a down day today. And honestly, it hit those highs. Traders just seemed a little bit uncomfortable showing any past support. And I am curious to see. We've seen really strong cash cattle as well recently. So if we do see long liquidation in these commodities, whether it's soybeans today with some decent weather, the hogs tipped over after hitting some resistance points. I don't know if cattle got it done today or not there, Jesse, but I know we got close to filling the gap on October. Mm-hmm. We may have a similar situation brewing on the cattle side if we do start to see some longer liquidation there as well. So I'm going to be watching that over the next few days on the cattle market.
Yeah, I didn't see either. We filled that gap. That's a good point.
I'll have to look.
It was really, really close. One other thing on the hogs as well that's interesting, August went off the board last week. That cash index still around 120, yeah. 121, yet we have October after Tuesday's close, 96.57.
That'll make a guy uncomfortable.
I'm really curious what's going to happen there. Is that cash index going to fall apart here soon to come more in line with October as the front month? Or is October going to go up to it? I really don't know what way we're going to go here.
I want to say it's going to meet in the middle because I have a really hard time believing you're going to get October to come off the board at plus 120 as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say, hopefully we can get that thing and stay in the hundreds. But at this time of the year, it's really hard to have too bullish of an outlook on the hog market. But I will say with fundamentals that we currently see in the hog market, plenty of strength. We are a little bit worried about kills here going forward maybe. But honestly, I would like to see some more support on that October for them to at least recognize where the current cash market is in October being the front month. So, yeah, I would like to see some support here on October, but I'm not going to give it forever, that's for sure.
On the cattle, you mentioned cattle a little bit. Cash trade, really haven't seen any develop this week, but we've seen some of those asking prices, especially in the southern feedlots, 142 yeah. to 145 now. We look at cattle and we think about, some of the some of the sales we've seen, still not really selling too far out. We're pretty current, it feels like, in feedlot country.
Yep.
So I wonder, with the break in corn today, obviously a good support for cattle, but 185 feeders, 180, 185, 140, 150 fats, those are still pretty rich levels. And you mentioned, filling that gap or whatnot. I'm curious how this cattle market's going to respond as we go later into quarter number four.
Yeah, and we've seen good bids in the West, and for now that's helping out. You know, today's action was trying to make up a little bit of yesterday's sell-off there. Industry feels pretty current, like you talked about there. We've been harvesting a lot of cattle every week this summer. Cash continues to look stronger for this week again. Nice to see the 140 plus out of the South. How much does it have left in it? That's going to be the million-dollar question going forward. So manage risk accordingly, I think, based upon your tolerance. You know, if you're thinking, you know, I should really get something done here, we're at the top level of these ranges, prices are really high, then that's fine. Or, you know, if you do want to reach for a little bit more, just know what you're reaching for, because you're going to be asking for quite a bit past this point.
Mike, let's go back to the grain and oilseed trade. You know, I think we know the story. We've been talking about it since Monday, since we came back from the weekend. The China economic woes are a factor, and worries about demand, you know, less demand from China, recession fears, crude oil collapsing, and then the rains that we saw in parts of the Western Belt that, you know, definitely hit some of the drier areas. How much did it really help? I definitely think soybeans, it helped. I think that was reflected in Tuesday's markets. Corn might be a little too late for some, just from what I'm hearing from growers, especially growers here at Dakota Fest. Overall, though, it just felt like a combination of all those factors really just kind of weighed on the trade on Tuesday.
Definitely, and I would say soybeans are leading the way. Perfect weather for the soybeans right now. We're getting nice rains. We've had perfect weather in August, so that's been awesome. Mm-hmm. So soybeans leading the way lower. Corn's just kind of following along, I think. It's a little bit less cool to be long commodities right now, I think, with crude oil trading below $87 for the first time since last February. You're seeing a little bit of long liquidation on the soybean, corn, energy markets. Saw some today with lean hog markets. So I think there's something to be said just about money flow as well. And then we've this transition from inflation hedge to recession hedge is typically a rough one. And I really look at the year of 2008. We've had a really strong correlation with futures between this year and 2008. And a year like that's really scaring me right now when I look at the charts. And some of the more macroeconomic things that we've been following, that scares me a little bit as well. And it's just not as bullish commodities when you start talking a really strong U.S. dollar. You're talking a lot of acres in Brazil. You're talking so many different factors from a global perspective, and China problems.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, and you made a great point there, and I want to talk to you a little bit about this. We're going from an inflation hedge to a recession hedge, it feels like, in the commodity space, the ag commodities. And we're doing it at a time when we normally start to put in our seasonal lows. Is that amplifying the move, do you think?
It definitely encourages it. I mean, it makes it an easier decision.
Definitely. That's something for, I think, for producers. You know, they really, it makes it even tougher to market. And then you throw on top of it, computers and algorithm trade, and we could be down 30 cents in a matter of 2 minutes.
It gets choppier.
It gets choppier, and it really just it makes it stressful, and it increases the volatility, I feel like.
And I feel like you've seen that recently, too, with the S&P market, because we've put so much strength in that S&P recently. So you've seen money fading out of corn, soybeans, crude oil, and it's been kind of filling back into the S&P. Mm-hmm. Now, as we get toward these equities, towards their older highs, you know, 4,400 on the S&P or so here, as we're approaching that, maybe they'll say, you know, that's enough in the meantime here. We've got enough problems going on that we should tame ourselves a little bit. Then you might see some more money flow pull back. But honestly, it's been a risk-off environment, and it's at that time of the year where that is a pretty common thing historically.
So talk risk management with me. If I'm a producer and I haven't maybe made enough sales, I have a better idea of what I have for a crop this year, and you're seeing the markets liquidate right now. I mean, what is my strategy here? What am I thinking? I know it varies, you know, from operation to operation, obviously, but I know there's some general things to think about. So what are your thoughts with risk management in this environment in the grains?
Yeah, so, I mean, you made the point. The number one thing to identify is your risk tolerance. If you sell a little bit of your grain, if it goes up, are you going to be mad? You know, if you miss out selling before the big sell-off, just identify your risk tolerance. That's the number one rule. And I think the first thing that applies to everyone is always basis. We got to sell our corn somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So basis on the corn market has really started to pull back. So I would, if you got old crop corn, I'm pushing that really hard right now, because I think you see what you saw in soybeans here recently, and you see that basis pull back as you get closer to new crop. The next thing I think would be on new crop basis. Here around this area, I'm not too concerned. We've got just enough problems around us and good demand still from the livestock and the biofuels industry that I think that we've got good basis levels from here on out. I'm not too worried. Typically, I'm locking in new crop basis right now. Mm-hmm. But so that'd be the one thing. Watch that. Eastern Corn Belt, I do not like their basis levels right now very much at all. It's just too weak. So I'm going to shoot for a little bit better there. Going forward, I would say try to sell in this range. I mean, you're chopping around between the 650 to like 580 level. I would like to see them get down and fill that gap, but hopefully we find some support there. So I would be looking to try to make some shorter term moves within that trading range and kind of hit the highs and the lows and just kind of try to hop on board here where you're comfortable at. But honestly, if you have good yields, it's not too bad to be too early at this point. I mean, just get done what you need to before harvest. So,
Mike, before we run out of time, if folks want to talk with you and the team at Professional Ag Marketing and they want some advice, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah, give us a call at 507-449-2030 or go to our website at Professional Ag Marketing, and we're active on social media programs as well. So please reach out to Jesse or myself.
Definitely. ProfessionalAgMarketing.com is where you can find them. I should plug as well, Wednesday afternoon, 1 o'clock at Dakota Fest. You, me, and Dwayne Bussey of Bolt Marketing will have a market panel in the Reeves Education Center, and I'm looking forward to the discussion. I hope producers who are coming to Dakota Fest bring their questions as well and try to get them answered.
Sounds like a party.
Definitely. Mike, always appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you.
And that's Mike Miner with Professional Ag Marketing joining me here today on Market Talk live at Dakota Fest. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with Kirsten Garriott, National Agronomy Leader for LG Seeds. That's coming up after the break. Back with more Market Talk on the way right after this.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And joining us now, National Agronomy Leader with LG Seeds, Kirsten Garriott is with us. Kirsten, great to talk with you today. How are you?
Really good, Jesse. Thank you for having me on.
I appreciate the time. Thanks for joining us here today, Kirsten. And LG Seeds, new corn soybean products for 2023. Hard to believe that, you know, we're already thinking about 2023 spring planting when we haven't even harvested this year's crop yet, but that time is upon us to really start thinking about it. So let's start with corn first. What are some of the new products that LG Seeds is excited about going into next year?
Yeah, we have a lot to be excited about here at LG. Jesse, we released 19 new corn products for the 2023 sales year. Most of those are entirely new genetics, but we do have some new trait offerings that are on already existing successfully commercial germplasm. So, you know, we can give our growers choice when it comes to the traits we offer to fit their different insect protection needs, their different herbicide needs on the farm. We've got a number of products that came out all the way from 79 day up to 119 day, but probably a couple of the ones that we're most excited about. We have LG 59C72 Smart Stacks Rib. That product is a sweet, sweet 109-day RM. It's going to meet a lot of the needs of the growers across the Corn Belt. And it's got some really unique germplasm on it that has industry-leading tolerance to tar spot. So we're pretty excited to offer that to, you know, a variety of folks across the Corn Belt and beyond. LG 63C82 Drought Guard Double Pro. That's another one that we're pumped about. That one is yield, 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 baby. And it's one of those ones that brings a little bit of durability with that top end as well, with that drought guard trait and some of its really well-balanced agronomics. So that's going to be a big seller for us. And of course, shifting back to the earlier end, we have LG 52C42. That one's going to be out in a double pro as well as a Roundup Ready corn. Really nice play for that 100-day market, but can also pull nice into that 105, 110 RM zone. For those growers wanting to chase a little bit earlier harvest in a little bit more full season markets. So we've got a variety of options there and many more. We're also really excited that we're bringing SmartStax Pro into our lineup this year, first commercial launch year. And, you know, when you think about the market that the SmartStax Pro is really going to help, those heavy corn rootworm areas with greater than expected damage on our traits year to year, we're excited about the short-term efficacy on those products being a little bit higher than our traditional options for rootworm control. But we're also even probably more excited about the long-term trait durability that that offers when it comes to protecting our already existing modes of action on the market. So that's something that we're excited to be kind of on the leading edge of as far as offerings for 2023.
Well, Kirsten, I want to circle back real quick to tar spot. You mentioned one of the traits that you guys are working on for that and announced for that. You know, tar spot, as I'm sure you're well aware of, has gone from kind of a regional issue to a national issue as it continues to spread throughout the Corn Belt. And it's awesome to see that you guys have got a trait that is, you know, kind of trying to fight tar spot, because it's a big issue for our growers right now.
Yeah, we have some really great native resistance to tar spot in our AgReliant germplasm. And we breed that in as often as possible, obviously, but especially last year was a great year to screen for that disease. So we feel really confident in our ratings on some of our products, especially newer ones. We got to see in quite a few of our pre-commercial research trials out in the field. So that is something that is pretty unique to AgReliant germplasm, and we're excited to be offering it in the LG bag.
Well, let's shift over to soybeans and kind of the same story there. I know some very exciting products in the lineup for 2023. Can you tell us a little bit more about what's on tap on the soybean side?
Yes. So this year, LG is launching 23 new commercial products in soybeans from group zero all the way up to group four. We are launching both XtendFlex and E3 varieties, Enlist E3 soybeans, in those lineups that we already have in our, you know, existing commercially strong portfolio, as well as a couple of new conventional soybeans too, because we can't forget about those growers who want to use that system. We really believe in grower choice and ROI on every acre at LG. So we're excited to bolster both lineups, all three lineups really, on the soybean side.
Well, Kirsten, I know with growers, just in general, I mean, you have an agronomy team across the country, and looking at these new products, if they're starting to think about 2023 and lining up, you know, what they want to put in the ground next spring, it's probably going to be the best choice for them to reach out to their local agronomist, their local LG Seeds representative, or they, I know they could go online as well, but I think probably starting with that local representative is going to be key, isn't it?
Absolutely. You know, there's this old adage, you know, in the kind of the seed industry, if you're picking all your own seed, you're doing somebody else's job for them. We believe that our growers know their own farms the best, but we also are product experts in our own lineup and really in the industry. So utilize our knowledge, contact your local guy. The thing I would say in addition to that is go early when it comes to selecting, you know, your best hybrids and varieties on the farm. We know that year-over-year supply chain issues, things have changed quite a bit in the last couple of years. And really, this is just magnifying something that we've known in ag to be true for a number of years. And that's the best products are available early in the packages you want, the grade sizes you want, so forth. So I'd really encourage growers to be proactive, plan ahead, maybe start thinking about that seed plan a little sooner than you would have in previous years. And talk with your local LG representative, because they're really going to be able to point you in the right direction and talk through your individual needs of all your farms.
Well, fantastic advice and great insight. And we appreciate the time with that national agronomy leader with LG Seeds, Kirsten Garriott. Appreciate it. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Yes. Thank you very much, Jesse.
And again, that's Kirsten Garriott with LG Seeds. Learn more, lgseeds.com. Coming up on tomorrow's show, we're going to have Kevin McNew with the Farmers Business Network, as well as David Widmar with Agricultural Economic Insights. That's going to do it for Market Talk today. Have a fantastic rest of your day. I'm Jesse Allen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Keeping up on the latest in ag is a challenge, to say the least, but there are experts nearby ready to help. You'll find them at your local FS. You can trust them to bring you customized agronomic, grain, and energy solutions born of the latest thinking. That's because FS specialists receive continuous training that keeps them current on the latest trends, practices, and technologies. So you'll get local expertise that's both exceptional and up-to-date. Visit fssystem.com to learn how FS is bringing you what's next.